talking about the Tzitz Eliezer's approach to end-of-life care. We pretty much exhausted it. We talked about his tshuva about the ventilators on timers, where he says, I don't really understand why you need a timer, just shut off the ventilator. The only shaila is, well, maybe shutting off the ventilator will speed this guy's death. And therefore, I need to know, you know, he says, if his patient has no heartbeat and is not breathing and has no brain function, then you can turn off the machine. Maybe when the machine's on, you won't know if those exist. So therefore, and turning it off might cause it. So you can't turn it off. It's a technical problem. If I can know those things when the machine's on, so he says, turn it off. Having this on the timer creates a situation where I would be able to find out these things. And if those are true, those three physiological parameters are present, you don't have to restart the machine. And if they're not present, I'm sorry, if the three physiological parameters are not present, you don't have to start the machine. If they are present, you have to restart the machine. So the timer just gives him a hechi timtza to find out what the patient's status is. So I can find out the patient's status without this hechi timtza, so it would be fine. The timer has no relevance to shutting off a machine in someone who's living. He's talking about someone who has, again, no heartbeat, not breathing, and no brain function. Dr. Steinberg said, I don't really believe that's what you're saying. And he says, no, I'm being serious. And he says, really? That's how you, in the next tshuva, in the next chelik, that's in chelik Yudalid Simon Pei, he says, really? I think that's really what you're saying? And he says, yeah, that's really what I'm saying. He's very clear. He's very clear, but in chelik Yudalid. In chelik Yudalid Simon Pei, he's very clear. He's saying it all whether about you have chiyus atzmi or no chiyus atzmi, is it all dependent, inherent chiyus, life force or external life force? And in Pei Aleph, Dr. Steinberg's like, and really, that's how you read the Ramah? And he says, yes. That's how I read the Ramah. When the person has chiyus atzmi, you may not do anything to the patient. When he has no chiyus atzmi, you're not allowed to do anything. You have to let him go. And that's clear as day. And so his timers for Tzitz Eliezer are sort of just an interesting way to get around the hechi timtza to find out what the patient's status is. But he would say any patient who has a heartbeat, or is breathing, or has brain function must be continued. And in fact, one last tshuva we'll see. We didn't see this one. It's in Chelag Yud Ches, Simon Samach Beis, also from Dr. Schussheim. I do not know the details of the story, but it's the way he presents it, at least. There was a child, it says a grandson of Reverend Soloveitchik in Chicago, who had some type of brain cancer, and he needed to have a drainage from the ventricles in the brain to the VP shunt to his stomach to lower the fluid level so you don't have swelling in the brain. Apparently it wasn't working very well and they wanted to put in a new one. And there was a machlekes between the father and the mother whether they should do this or not. The father wanted to, the mother said no. And it went to court, and the court decided to go with the mother, not to, and therefore she said, no, don't put this in, and the child died 2 days later. The child would have died several days. I mean, the child would have died at some point anyway. This was not a cure for the cancer. It was just to extend life. So he says, that's what happened. What would you have said? So what do you think he would have said, given everything we know about Tzitz Eliezer? Assuming this is not a risky procedure, there's no indication in this shaila. Whether it is a risky procedure or not a risky procedure is completely irrelevant. The Tzitz Eliezer was presented to shaila as without mention of risk. He's going to assume there's no risk to this procedure. Once we say there might be risk to the procedure, it might be a separate question. We'll address that. Maybe if we get to that, we'll address the risky procedures also. I think Rabbi Cohen will give a chavur on that. But let's leave that alone for a minute. So he says, no, you should have done it, right? Because he quotes in the bottom here, even if his brain is smashed, we extend his life even a little bit. It's about halfway through. No, less than halfway through, 40% through. It's Chelek Yud Chesim and Samech Beis. And he says, you have to do everything to keep him alive. And at the top of the top of page Kuf Gimel, he says, Yesh Chiyuv Kimatara Bifnei Atzma Latet Kiyum Shel Chaim Le'ish Yehudi V'Luok Tzarim Be'Oser. There's a positive value to extend life, no matter how ephemeral. V'Gzeres Torah He Shel Vashevo Shel Lo'Avei Daskufo. It's a Gzeres HaTorah. Stop making Cheshbainis. He says, don't make cheshbainis, he won't have quality of life. He says, don't make any cheshbainis, you need to keep him alive. At the bottom of the next paragraph, kol ma shenitan la'asos kedei l'harech ha'sachayim b'kol kama shehem, anything that can extend life as much as possible. Kamuvan li'shtadol yachadim zot v'ashkei d'yisiruv kechol mitat v'efshar. You should try to reduce suffering. This has nothing to do with suffering. We should certainly always do our best to reduce suffering. Al din tiyas ruvot samanim margim l'sugyas shonim. You should always try to reduce suffering, but you must extend life as much as possible. He thought, therefore, you should have put this shunt in, and they should have. Halacha would have went with the father.
So even if it would have extended life by a week, but it would have been intolerable suffering.
So he doesn't say that here. He says we should try to treat suffering as well.
But it seems like he's outside of
So the only time he addresses intolerable suffering, he doesn't say it. And when everyone quotes from the Tzitzel-Yezer that suffering is a value in of itself, it's always in Tshuva that he's referring to assisted suicide or euthanasia. When he's saying suffering is a value, he's always referring to, he's contrasting that to Ritzicha. Right? Euthanasia, he's assuming is Ritzicha. So no matter what's how much someone's suffering, you can't kill them. You can never kill anybody. And whenever he has these extreme formulations where he's quoted as saying suffering is a value and you shouldn't just knock it, it's always in it's always in the tshuva about euthanasia. So given that those are the two options ahead of us, he's going to go with suffering over murder. He never says it in these contexts.
What do you mean suffering is a value independently?
He's saying the fact that someone's suffering doesn't mean that their life is worthless. It doesn't mean their life is worthless. Being alive and having the opportunity to be alive in this world is Gzeiras HaTorah. That's a value in of itself. Being alive is a value, even when you're suffering. Now, my ha'ara just is that frequently the Tzitzel Yezer is quoted as saying this, and he does say it. It's always in the tshuva that's talking about euthanasia or doctor or physician assisted suicide or something to that effect.
But not necessarily avoiding treatment.
That's all he says. I think you're right. I think you're right. He only says it, though, in the context of euthanasia. So although he is quoted as saying suffering is a value in of itself, and I don't care how much suffering the person has, it's not the end of the world, it's just suffering. Not just suffering, some people are suffering terribly. He says, nonetheless, you can't kill someone. You can't do anything to kill him.
But
I'm just pointing out, he never says it in the context of of continuing life, of doing something, do I have to extend life or not?
But didn't you just say was his lashon of mitzvah?
He said, we should reduce suffering. We should extend his life. We should do as much as we can, and we should also do as much as we can to reduce the suffering. Now, what happens when those two come into conflict?
Right.
He doesn't address that point. I don't know what he would say. But I think quoting him, putting those two things together, is not necessarily mochrach. That's all I'm pointing out. He doesn't address that point. Beferish, he does talk about suffering. He does say that you can't kill someone when they're suffering. I think most poskim would agree to that. Physician-assisted suicide or euthanasia, doing something actively to end the life, shorten the life of someone's going to be usher, no matter what's going on with them. And that's where he has these extreme formulations. He does not have them in his context. He doesn't discuss it in his context. And I'm not saying that... here he says a little bit, but not more. So you can read the shuvah, and maybe here he addresses it a little bit. It's a little bit more vague. I'm just pointing out in all the other shuvahs, he doesn't have such a strong lashon. I think the strong lashon, the extreme formulation, was in contrast to Ritzicha. So that was his Tzitzel Yezer. So I want to address next is Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, because Tzitzel Yezer and Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach are going to figure very prominently in the Israeli law. Their Israeli poskim. And then we'll do Rav Moshe separately, because Rav Moshe has a different mahalach. So my plan is to do Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Tzitzel Yezer, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Rav Moshe. I don't know that we're going to see other poskim on this, but those are maybe we'll see Rav Zalman Nechemia. It depends if I can figure out a way to do it properly. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva, and then he has pieces quoted in Nishmas Avram. So the tshuva is here. It's in Micha Shlomo, Simen Tzadi Aleph, Tafresh Kapei, page 17 in the packet for all those following. So he says here, so we should just read it because it's important lesson. So hein emnon poshut ubar da aval gav shachaim shel mishu takim lo aleinu enam chaim enam kal chaim lefi amu sagim apshutim shelanu. The life of someone who is paralyzed is not considered life according to our simple understanding. The kasher me'od asevel shel acholo v'gam shel mishpachtum. It's a terrible situation. Im kol zos hinenu mitzuvim v'gam chayovim lihishtadel v'kum v'asei l'rachas chaim shel mishu takim. We have a chiyuv to extend the life of people who are paralyzed. He's only talking about paralyzed victims here, but who are suffering. V'imu chole chayavim vaday lehizdaris batzalos v'gam lachalos of Shabbos. That makes sense. Ki ha'inyan shel chayim ein lanu shum knei mida kama limdo det hayukratam v'chashivutam afilu b'torah mitzvahs. We have no right to judge what life is worth and what life is not worth. Sharei mechalos haShabbos gam al zaken chole mukeshchin afal v'ishu chayre shalv v'shalta gomor. We mechalos Shabbos for everybody. There's no difference in quality of life. He can't do anything, and his life is just a burden and suffering. Al mishpachto, the gorm lehem bittel Torah mitzvahs, and they now they can't learn Torah. All they're doing all day is taking care of him. V'nosav latzarim hagadol areim asli medaldeli, and they're not doing well either. The family, because all they're doing all day is taking care of him. Afilu achi mitzvah gedolei Yisrael ishtado v'lasak batzalasu l'chalav sashabbos. You still have to try to keep him alive. So now I'm just going to skip to the end of this tshuva. If you go to the next page, it just reads better if you do it this way. He was doing it a different way. So Okay, you have to do everything in your power to keep them. He says you have to keep them alive. Doesn't matter what the person's quality of life is. We're judging quality of life based on our own value judgments. And he says, who says that you have the right to do that, and who says you're right? So in Bayes he says, Rabbim mislabdim b'sheila zu shel tibul b'chol gosis. Yesh sovrim shdik shem shemichal and Shabbos avr chayi shah kach chayavim lachriach asachol elze. The fact that we mechal Shabbos, the fact that there's a heter chil Shabbos means there's a chiyuv pikuach nefesh. And we have to force it over his will. Because a person's not a bailim on his guf. The guf is just something that we are given to as a pikadam from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, you have no right to make that judgment that you're willing to give up. If I can mechal Shabbos, I'm mechuyif to mechal Shabbos. I have to extend your life as much as possible. And we already saw the Stipler talks about this. Achmis tabershim achol asol mikavim v'yisurim gdolim. If he's suffering terribly, o'afilu sevel nefesh chazak me'od, or mental suffering, choshvani, I believe, she'ochel v'chamtsan l'neshima chayavim liten lo. You have to give him food and oxygen. Gam neged ratzonu, even if he doesn't want it. Aval mutar lihimana mitrufos agarmo sevel achole machola dorish etzeh. You are allowed to not give medications that themselves cause pain. So there's a big, okay, so fine. I don't know. So, okay, we're not going to give more chemotherapy. We're not going to do more radiation. But there's, right, because those are therapies that are aimed at curing the cancer that do cause pain. And we are going to give food and oxygen, but there's a whole spectrum of things that somewhere fit in between that we're going to have to figure out what to do with them. Ulam. Okay, so that's his opinion, which we'll explore more in a minute. But he's saying many people are bothered by the fact that there's a chiyuv, that there's a heter chil Shabbos, therefore you have a chiyuv. He says, not necessarily. I'm not bothered by that. You could have a heter chil Shabbos, and it's still optional. You can still not do certain things. Food and oxygen, yes. Other things, no. Meaning some things you don't have to do. But it's a heter chil Shabbos, so there's no stira. We pointed that out earlier. This type, we didn't think there was a stira either. Ulam, im achola yirei shamayim, v'lo nitra fadaito, rotzi ma'od lahazvir lo siyofa sha'achas b'tshuva b'olam hazeh mikol chaylam haba. If a person's conscious, we should tell him it's certainly worthwhile to be alive in this world. It's better to be alive in this world than not be alive in this world, and that's the path of the tzaddikim. And that we should explain to someone yofa sha'ach b'tshuva b'olam hazeh mikol chaylam haba, and that's what we should try to explain to people, even if they're suffering. However, we should tell them that. There's no chiyuv. He says that's the path of the tzaddikim, that's the ideal. And that's what we should encourage people to do, but by no means force it. Otherwise, there's no reason. We don't have to. The fact that there's a heter chil Shabbos doesn't mean we have to force it. So if we go back now to the first page, to the second paragraph here, ve'od yoter mizanir al nistaiti shafili mecholam mitzar harba be'ofen kazeh shemitzad halacha mitzvah levakei shalav shiyamus kamo shalav haran b'nedarim, where there's even a mitzvah to daven that he should die according to the Ran. V'hu v'gam b'poskim mikol magom gam be'ot ha'shor shemivakei shemitzpal l'Hashem shachol yamus gam ken chayav hu li'isasik v'atzalos u'l'chalav etz ha'Shabbos afilu kam pamim. He says there's no steer to that either. The fact that you can daven that you shouldn't that the person should die doesn't mean that you're putter from pikuach nefesh. Jonathan's quote from Avilaich again with the cat, right? If you're watching your neighbor's cat and you agree to do this and the cat's ripping up all your furniture, you can ask your neighbor to come back sooner and take the cat back away from you. Although nonetheless, you have to take care of the cat. It doesn't stop you from calling your neighbor and asking her to find somebody else. Okay, and the rest is not so relevant. So we see from here, first of all, we cannot determine the quality of life. It's not in our... Who says that we have the right measure to do that with? We have a mitzvah to extend life. And even if it's at the point where we can daven for the person to die, we still have a mitzvah to extend life. But then he points out, but you still have a choice. You still have a choice, maybe, that at some point there's a heter chilul Shabbos, but no necessarily chiyuv chilul Shabbos. And on the top of the next page, he points it out explicitly. Aval mikol makom, hoil v'sof sof, achayim shalom eshutakim him ra'im umarim. It's a horrible life. V'gam yesh asher tov lahem amavis mechayim. Some of them say it's preferable to die than to live. L'chein b'kegon da, mistarish, ein chayovim lasos maisa shal nituach b'kum v'asei. You don't have to do a surgery. You don't have to operate. The shaila here was it may or may not work. You're not mechuyev to do this some surgery. You don't have to do a kum va'asei because the life is not worth living, right? That's what he's saying. This person's he's not determining that. He says I don't have a way to judge that. But if a person is deciding that they don't want to live anymore, there is no reason that they have to do any suffering. There's no reason to do a surgery.
This is a case of a quadriplegic. He's speaking of
unclear. Mishutakim.
That's how he started.
Paralyzed. He's talking about someone who's paralyzed. Mishutak is
the
paralyzed.
Whole time?
That's what he's talking about, it seems like.
But if the Hatzal is about that, then you're Amachoy.
Unclear. So,
this is.
No. Ubifrat benidon didan. Ubifrat benidon didan. Here he's saying there's no reason to do something. Bekum va'asei. You don't have to do a surgery to extend his life if he's suffering. So what you get from this is a summary is what do you get? It says yeah.
Just a technical question: a person who's quadriplegic, do they? I mean, they don't feel pain.
So yes, for yes.
They might feel.
So, normally not. Normally, I don't feel pain.
Because if not, then this is like a psychological. That
he says, I feel several nefesh chazak meod.
No, I mean, is that like a psychological disorder, or is that just feeling of worthlessness?
Could be both.
Life?
Could be both. Either, I think he thinks of a psychological disorder, we should treat it. There's no reason that someone with a psychological who's depressed, we should say, they don't want to live anymore, we should let them die. No, we should treat their depression. I don't think he would say that.
Lost, like, just feelings of desire to
live. Right, we're assuming that the person is
okay,
not. Their mental condition is not treatable. I think if it was treatable, it would be irresponsible to say let them die because they want to. They're sick. So what's Yotze from here, it seems to me at least, is that the Heter Chilul Shabbos does not require a Chiyuv Pikuach Nefesh in all circumstances. Right? You don't have to do absolutely everything. For example, you don't have to do surgery if a person's suffering, and you don't have to give medications that they themselves cause suffering.
He says, you have a whole adorish, is
it? If you don't have to, I said.
Meaning...
You're allowed to. If this person doesn't want to, that's what I meant. If the person, maybe I should be clear. If the person doesn't want to, you can opt to do it. You can say, I want more chemo, I want more radiation, that's okay. But you don't have to. When I say you don't have to, it means you may. So there's no steer between the Chil Shabbos and the Heter Pikuach and Pikuach Nefesh. There are certain things, therefore, that you don't have to do, such as surgery or medications that they themselves will cause pain. However, he says food and oxygen you have to give no matter what. Right? That's what's Yotze from this Tshuva.
So what is this subjective area where the patient gets to decide whether his life should be extended or not come? Where does that come from?
Where does it come from? He doesn't give you a raya here, right? Here he just says it.
Well, he doesn't give you a raya or a hagdara.
He doesn't give you a hagdara either.
Total and mavis mechayim.
Person says so. So let's see the next piece and maybe it will be clear. It won't be, but maybe you'll find it clear. I don't think it's clear, but I'll present his whole position and then you can try to figure out what he's saying and why. What he's saying, we'll know. Why he's saying it's going to be much harder to figure out, but at least let's get all the pieces in play. So that tshuva is, I thought it has four pieces to it, and so let's move on from there. So we move to the next page, Nishmas Avram, where he asks him more specifically about different modes of therapy. And so maybe based on that, we'll be able to try to figure out what in the world he's saying and what's the basis for it. I don't know that we will, but I think it's at least we have more data to deal with. So if you look at the bottom here, what about doing a DNR for a goseis hasovel, so goseis hasovel, someone who is suffering. So datos la grashas or bach zatal. Amar li agrashas or bach zatal. So the bottom of the first column here, in some page taf pe gimel in nishmas avram yordeh. She tzrichim lahavdil ben tipulim hamimalim tzrochav hativim shalachole o amekubalim kishigratiim ubein tipulim shemichutz lagedera shigra. I'm translating the words. I'm going to try not to give value judgments. You have to differentiate between those therapies, those treatments that fulfill the natural needs of the patient or are accepted as routine, as opposed to those therapies or treatments that are not routine. Fair enough? That was objective?
Yeah.
Fine. So, okay. So, we can have different definitions of what's routine than what's a natural ability. He'll give us some examples so we can deal with it.
That's more than what he said in the Tshuva. The Tshuva said
yes.
Therapies... Are optional.
He said certain things are... He said, all we know is that previous tshuva, all I know is three data points. Food and oxygen, yes. Surgery is optional. And medications that cause pain are optional.
Right.
Now he's saying a different tchilik between things that fulfill natural needs or accepted as routine versus those that are not routine.
Even non-routine medications, even though they don't cause pain... would be optional.
It sounds like it.
This version.
Yes. So let's just read his examples. V'chein chol lamashal asovel misartan sheitpashet beguvul v'kar lamita. Someone suffering from metastatic cancer. Af al yeshal yisurim v'kevim kashim. Even though he's suffering. Aser lahafzik lo. You cannot stop. O limno imenu. Or not give. You cannot withdraw or withhold. Chamtzan, oxygen. O kol mazon o nozel mezin acher. Or food or any other nutrient. Lahem uzakuk, which he needs to live. Im usovel misar... Okay, fine. So you can't remove or withhold oxygen or food or liquid. So that's what he pretty much said in the other tshuva, right? Even if he's suffering. So that...
That he needs to live, not that he doesn't need to live.
Right, so we're only doing it if... What do you mean?
You can't withhold things.
Some people can't make it into,
right, so like if the person's kidneys have failed and he's not outputting any urine, so giving him fluid is going to kill him. Right? Okay, so... Fluid helps you maintain blood pressure and then you have to get rid of it through your urine. Your kidney needs to filter it and get it out. Right? If there's no way that the fluid's getting out, just pumping fluid in is going to cause the heart to stop. So unfortunately, there are some people who read this and say, fluid at all costs. He says fluid at all medical costs, meaning only if it's going to promote continued life. If it's not going to promote continued life, then it's absolutely not necessary. Same thing feeding tube also. If the person is, the food's going in and all they're doing is aspirating and it's coming up and going into their lungs, so maybe you don't have to give food if it's going to kill them, they're going to choke on it. So we're talking about when...
But you have to give them food even if they can't take it themselves.
We'll talk about that in a second. But my point is just, the first point is just only when it's not medically contraindicated. We're not mechayev to do anything that's medically contraindicated, and we probably shouldn't because it'll kill him. Now, given that you have to give oxygen in the form of a ventilator...
I'm just saying, not just the things which are contraindicated, but even something that is not helping... Like somebody who's definitely going to die within 3 days, they do not need, a three-course meal.
Right.
Where do you see that in the words? Just read the words that say that.
Lahem hu zakok, he needs them.
What does it mean, lahem hu zakok? In general, he would need them?
He needs them now. He needs them now. So all of my interpretation based on this is going to be based on my conversation with Dr. Abraham to try to clarify what in the world is going on here. But also, it's very mistaber. You have to give someone fluid even though it's going to kill him?
Lahem hu zakok.
That's ridiculous.
Everyone needs fluid. Ben Shlodam.
Ask the doctor if he needs fluid or not. The man has no kidney function. You give him fluid, he's going to blow up like a balloon.
I'm not asking like the doctor. I'm saying...
Lahem hu zakok, he
means... Everyone needs fluid. How do you come off to say
so
that?
So, Perish Dr. Abraham...
I'm not asking Perish Dr. Abraham.
He's writing it. Omar Lee. It's his words. Uh-huh. He's allowed to interpret himself. It's his words. He can interpret himself. He said lahem hu zakok means medically zakok. And that makes sense. You can give him fluid even though his kidney's failed? That's ridiculous.
That. I'm just saying it doesn't
fine.
Put it in the words.
So, that's the authorized Perish. Why should he have written it clear? Maybe.
Not just if it's going to harm him.
Even if it won't necessarily help. It has to, if it's going to be, right, it has to help him.
Again,
some
say
that him
live. Zakuk means, it has,
it
to,
has to help promote continued biological activity.
As defined by?
Continued biological activity by biology.
Lahem hu zakuk, you have to do.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. And given that he's talking about a ventilator, you have to put a patient on a ventilator, which is giving oxygen in a manner in which you normally do not have it, but it's giving a natural substance in an artificial way, we're going to see he does require you to do, to give all of these things, what he's calling natural needs, in artificial means, through artificial means. That's a big chiddush. The quadriplegic, if you have to give him food, you can't just put the food in front of him and say, I was yotzei mechiyuv, here's a three-course meal.
Right.
He can't move. You have
someone,
to feed him.
If someone has, like... just an organ failure, do you have to give them a new organ no matter what? Like,
so let's just continue and we'll see it bears out in the tubus here. Im usovu misakeret, if he has diabetes, so ein lahafsik matana insulin kadesh yamos yoter maher. You can't stop the insulin so he'll die faster.
Why?
Because he says that is either
why
a divar.
The pancreas isn't working.
It's not working. So either either he gave you two criteria above. Either that fulfills strachav hativim, his natural needs, or it's hamikubalim kishigratiim. It's accepted as routine. So for the diabetic, the insulin is both fulfilling a natural need
and
is accepted to him as routine because he's diabetic. Which will come up in a moment because he doesn't talk about. Ein lahasik et matan damo kol trufa acheres. You can't stop blood.
Understand that you can't change the routine if a guy wants to die.
No.
That's
well, let's just see what he's saying, then we'll understand why. But let's just get all the data. I'm just starting. Let's all get all the data points down. Because it's just not fair. Meaning, I'm going to throw something. Well, he says also this. So let's just say
additional treatments. That's the point.
Right. So you cannot stop blood transfusions. O kol trufa acheres, or any other medication could go in antibiotica, which is antibiotics. Hadrusha latipulo, that he needs to keep it. He needs for his treatment.
Had he needed them or now?
Good question. So there's Tarsha Bal Pal now. Hydrosha, now he needs them? Or now, what about hemodialysis?
He wasn't diabetic. We just found out he's diabetic.
A condition that only arose after he became Tov Moso Mechayev?
Yeah.
Or a condition that was from before?
Yeah. It's not routine. It's not routine.
Now he's a diabetic, so now it's routine.
But
he's
yet to make
that's what I'm
so he's to going to mechalik between the following case. Halacha lemaisa is what he said. It's not in the sefer. What about hemodialysis? Hemodialysis is, right, it filters the kidneys. We talked about this, right? It takes blood out of one arm, puts in the other arm, filters, your kidneys aren't working, it filters your blood, puts back in.
Isn't that dangerous, taking all your blood out?
Yes. I gained several serum ago. Right, so it is dangerous, but these people are home. Okay, fine. So maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't.
Luckily they don't do that.
Luckily we don't do that, they do it slowly. Fine. Good point, though. Myra. Okay. So, you have someone who does this for you for years. Okay. So, he said that that is routine. That fulfills the function of his kidneys. You can't stop that. However, someone who comes into the... who gets hit by a truck and is now severely served and we have no hope of helping him and he's dying. And Taka, his kidneys fail too. Because the person's dying, so his kidneys failed. Do I have to put him on dialysis or not? So Shlomo Zalman said no. That for him it's not considered routine, so you don't have to.
How many times before?
Okay, so Dr. Abraham doesn't have a mahalach. He just knows what he asked him, and he knows I asked him this many times before, and he said yes. This many times before, and he said no.
What were the numbers?
I know two or three times was no. Meaning, if it was just
two or three times was no. What?
If he needed dialysis just because he now got hit by a truck.
Right.
So that no. If he needed dialysis because he had a kidney condition before, so yes.
And if he was diagnosed walking out of the doctor's office.
I don't know. He didn't ask, so he doesn't know. He didn't ask.
So routine is defined
as something that's
defined by the patient.
By the patient a little bit. Right, by the patient. What's been done for him? It seems like it.
His schedule seems to have fallen away now.
I don't know. Hemodialysis fulfills a natural need. Does insulin fulfill a natural need? I have no idea. Oxygen and food fulfill. All I know, he said those two things, and he gives a bunch of examples. I don't know which falls into which category.
He says
either something that fulfills his natural needs or accepted as routine.
Right, but I'm saying that the truck case you just gave.
The dialysis, he's not on this list. So it fulfills one of those two. Which one doesn't fulfill? It sounds like it fulfills the routine business.
Unless it's...
Right. I don't know what insulin falls under. Is insulin a natural need or is insulin routine?
Was that clarification of someone who recently needs dialysis? Was that written down? Or
no.
You're just quoting that from...
That's Balfe. Okay. Conversation. So he would say the same thing by insulin. If this person's diabetic and they get an insulin every day, so they need to continue getting insulin. Now they got hit by a truck and their pancreas stopped working because it was smashed to smithereens, he would not need insulin.
Isn't that the routine?
Or hemodialysis.
In essence, is meaning the main issue is tracheal TVM, and therefore, once the routine is part of your normal.
Could be.
Antibiotics
is not. Antibiotics is not tracheal TVM, though. I tried this once. Yeah, it's hard.
The routine thing just seems like an arbitrary. Mm-hmm.
The whole thing's arbitrary.
I'm saying no. If you were to put into the category, the main category is what's your natural processes, and so your routine. If you hold the routine becomes part of your natural process, then it makes sense.
Could
if
be.
If you don't hold that, then the routine aspect makes it.
That's a valid mahalach. I don't. That's what he's saying. You're right. You could say that, but I don't know. You can't get antibiotics gets you into a problem.
Like, well, same person has Gaucher's, right? They have to get injections every couple of weeks so they don't die. Like, what you're going to make him if that's part of his natural.
That's routine. So
that's routine, but it's also part of
his
routine.
Right. You can't take the fulfilling natural functions thing to too much of an extreme because, you know, after all, you know, a person has heart failure, right? So I operate and put in an artificial heart for him, if such a thing is possible, right? So
that fulfills a natural function.
Fulfills
a
natural function. Obviously, Shlomo Zalman can tell you that's not necessary.
Mm-hmm. The person who had a heart failure probably is on a diuretic so that to remove fluid, so you presumably wouldn't stop a diuretic.
What does it have to do with that?
What's your question?
Like the same idea. He has heart failure, so he shouldn't replace his heart.
No, but why not? It fulfills it. Meaning, Jonathan's point is just that when he says natural needs, you can't take that so extreme because everything effectively, meaning even antibiotics just boosts your immune system. It just helps your immune system fight better. Meaning everything that you do, I can conjure up a way of fulfilling natural needs. So it's hard to know.
Even though hemodialysis replaces your kidney function, right? So, but that's probably not the same as putting on a ventilator. Because putting on a ventilator is just providing you with oxygen in a way that you can
use it. But we're pumping it into your body. But it's providing it to you in the way that you couldn't have otherwise accessed it, which we'll talk about. So let's just compare that. Ula me'idach, on the other hand, ein kol chiyuv l'tablik b'cholik hazeh b'tzura kum v'aseh, k'shatibul atzma yigrom lo seva l'rav l'yisirav. You don't have to do something proactive that is going to cause pain. K'shatibul humichutz l'geder ha'shigra. Something that causes pain and is not considered routine, you don't have to do. And there are three criteria now. And where it will not cure him. Right? So it is first of all, painful therapy. It is not routine, and it is not expected to save his life. To cure his underlying condition.
He's a ghost.
Right, but also...
No, he's not a ghost.
But if it's, If it's going to make him...
Where?
In the number two. The
but that's the headline. But here he's not. Here he's talking about someone who's suffering.
But also,
he didn't say ghosts.
If it's going to extend his life significantly, even if it's not going to cure him, that's also chiv.
Right, but he compares, he says, he contrasts laharachas chayav midasma, extending his life a little bit, versus curing his underlying condition. Again, there's going to be a big gap between those two things.
Presumably he's not being mechalic between a cure and a significant extension
right,
of life.
Right, he means a significant extension of life versus the minimal extension of life. Anyway, so his example is, ubimyuchat im gen gam hachole maskim ekev hakevim hakashim ha'osef l'rav, especially when the chole does not agree. And therefore, one aleph, he says, chole sofani v'hachya, kein chole shematzavo v'adai miyuash, right, there's no therapy for him, I don't like to say given up. So we have no cure for his underlying condition. Kshehipsik linshom, he stopped breathing. Oshalibo hipsik lifom, where his heart stopped. Ein kol chiv lenasos laachyoso alariach eschayek shashlo. There is no obligation to extend his life. Kigon ala deisui levon shamam lachusis impulos achya yosifu yisurim al yisurav. So now, if those things are going to cause, right, are going to cause pain.
No, it's not that they're going to cause.
He says, yeah. Impu'ulos ha'achya yosifu yisurim. They're going to add pain to his already painful status. He has to be suffering now. These therapies are going to add to that suffering. And we have no reason to expect that they're going to live, have any reasonable extension of life, whatever that means. You don't have to do it. And it sounds like to do CPR would not be required. That would be a kumvasei, something that's mechutz l'gader ha'shigra. The gader ha'shigra, it's not routine. And therefore, you wouldn't have to do it.
It all depends on the
tzrach. No, and even if it's tzrach avativim, so now we have a problem. No. So when those tzrach what about hansham? No, what about...
Being alive, is it tzrach tivim?
He says, don't... Have to make sure he says hansham amlachusis. He says, a ventilator. You don't have to put this patient on the ventilator.
You don't have to put him on.
No, what did you say that? Oh.
Two lines from the bottom up. Three lines from the bottom. So I have pshah.
That would be
he says you have to give chantam.
Before he says you have to give chamsa, now he says no. So it's the cause of a shlishi. Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, no.
Wait, I have a cause of a shlishi first.
If his will extend his life significantly, meaning...
Then you have to suffer for it, yeah.
Okay.
Usually people who have heart attacks, who are suffering from some terminal condition, doing CPR is not going to significantly extend their life. Usually.
It will extend life beyond this moment of death.
Right, but you mean significantly.
You might live for another month or two.
Right, usually not, but... If it would be, then you would do it. I don't know. You have to judge what is significant versus not significant.
And he keeps coming back to the fact that the treatment is causing pain.
It's causing pain.
Now, what is he going to say about a case...
Hold on.
Case that doesn't cause pain.
Okay, hold on.
The living is causing
living
pain.
Is painful.
Okay, so hold on. So let me just do the cause of a sleep. Yeah.
With the one clarification, if he was already on... He's not talking about something that was already...
We're not stopping a ventilator. Stopping a ventilator is very different.
Right.
We'll talk about stopping a ventilator later. Okay, so that's the cause of a shlishi.
And is feeding tube the same category, or do we treat that differently for some reason? Like, do we breathing on assisted breathing and assisted eating? Like,
so he put them both together before.
That's what I'm steering.
Like, everyone always says the ventilator. Like, what could you do the feed? Like, if he had been on a ventilator, somehow his feeding stopped. Could I?
He would think you have to keep feeding him. It's just dvarim shigratim.
But I hadn't been using a feeding tube.
Right. So would you have to if the feeding is going to cause pain? If it's going to cause pain. Okay, good question. So let's see that. You go to the next page.
We have a steerer.
At first he said, it seems like he said on top of the page, you have to give oxygen even though... I'm going to be diac now. Read it carefully. In line 4. Al afshe yesh lo yisurim v'kevim kashim. Even though he has pain and suffering, asur lahafsik, you may not stop, stop for him, olim no mimenu chamsin, or to withhold oxygen, o kol mazun nozal mezin achar lahem uzakuk. If he's suffering, you can't not give him medicine. You can't give him oxygen. Now, in the bottom, he's saying when these p'ulos ha'achya will actually cause suffering. Different. And that's because of a shlishi on the next page, on page taf pehei, on the left column, on the second line, the chen amar li'agresh has orabach satzal she'achola nimtza b'matzav sofani shel machalaso. It's a terminal condition. V'ein chiyuv linkos kol p'ulos she'tigrim l'keivim kashim gami machola nimtza lo karav eino sovel. Even if he's not suffering now, but doing something is going to cause pain, you don't have to do it. So,
what does it mean that it'll cause pain?
I don't know how putting someone on the ventilator is going to cause pain. And Rosh Hashanah is not interested in how it's going to happen. But, how is putting someone on the ventilator going to cause him pain?
Well, I was thinking feeling the pain. But anything you insert in someone,
it's not comfortable.
Feel it because they're already.
I don't think that's considered to be Yisurim Kashim.
No, it doesn't have to be Yisurim Kashim. It's just, it's causing him pain.
Like, a catheter would cause pain.
There's going to be some pain you have to do and some pain you don't have to do. There's going to be a threshold somewhere.
But it's uncomfortable to have a ventilator.
So we usually sedate patients on the ventilator. Almost always.
Right, but that's when we're saving their life and not causing the pain.
No, we almost always sedate someone on the ventilator so they don't pull it out.
But I'm saying, like...
So they're not... Look, I can see why CPR is painful. CPR is a painful procedure. You're standing on top of a person's chest and smashing down as hard as you can, right? It's very tiring, right? You have to switch every minute, 2 minutes, 1 minute. Every 2 minutes you're supposed to switch. But if you're short, you should just realize, I'm short. So when you're doing this and the patient's bed is about yay high, right? This is the patient's bed, so you can access it. This is as low as it gets. And let's say they're a little bit zaftig, okay? So the person, like, okay? You're, like, leaning over them like this. You're on your tippy toes and doing CPR, and you're pushing down really hard. It's tiring, okay? And it's painful, and you're breaking ribs.
We're talking about pain for the patient. Not
pain for the patient. I'm saying, but I'm saying, given the effort that I could
also,
No. My point was, not Nebuchadnezzar me. Not Nebuchadnezzar me, but I'm saying, given what I'm putting into this, I can only imagine that this is painful.
No, but they're not feeling it right now. They're feeling the...
They might be feeling it. If they're alive, they might be feeling it. If they're dead, they won't feel it.
They're unconscious.
Anyone who's doing...
You're assuming that they feel no pain.
How do these younger patients feel the...
You have... There are studies on this. It's not possible at all.
Come on. You think someone in whom you're doing CPR feels pain?
Might? He might feel pain.
Based on what?
Based on that I'm crushing his ribs?
He's dead.
He's not dead.
Basically, what he
If he's
up,
dead... You're right. So you say if he's dead, he's feeling no pain. If he's alive, he might be feeling pain. So, mima nafshach, it's going to be mutter. Because if he's dead, I have no chiyuv. And if he's alive, he might be suffering, and therefore I don't have to do it. That's all he's saying.
Again, part of the
it is a pain. I can see why. No, all I said
no,
was I can see
because
why
you,
this could be
for
painful.
You, when it sounds
no, hopefully, he wakes up and his ribs are cracked. Yes, he's in pain.
Okay, but no, I'm sure why process. You're doing
I'm hoping. No, during the first of all, don't be so certain that during the process he's not he's feeling pain. Don't be so certain
that there's any type of reaction.
I don't know what that means. Translate
where
things.
Do you see, where do you see any?
I will
type
find
of
you papers.
Okay.
Because what we're trying to do is continue. Because during the goal of CPR is to maintain cerebral blood flow.
Yeah.
Right.
Or not, okay.
The goal of CPR is to maintain blood to maintain blood flow.
Right.
Yes? Blood goes to the brain.
Yeah.
When brain has blood, what does it do? It lives and does its stuff.
You ever
part of the stuff it does is feel
have
pain.
Have you ever heard a single report of someone who said that they were in pain when someone was doing CPR when they woke up subsequently?
All I said was, it's Efser, I can imagine that such a thing exists. That's all
first
I said.
It's Efser that they're skeptical of all the possibilities that the aliens walking down the street are
I think that mine is far more likely than the aliens coming down the street.
Why should your skeptical possibility be any more likely?
Okay. I'm just suggesting it. I don't know why a ventilator is painful. It's uncomfortable, it goes down the throat, it's uncomfortable, but I can't imagine that it's quite as painful. I mean, it's hard to know. Yeah.
But couldn't you be saying that by virtue of putting them in the ventilator again, so maybe that process is not painful, but if he's already in a state of pain, you're continuing his pain of living.
It has to get worse. Meaning doing anything to continue, he's saying...
Meaning right now, if you don't put in the ventilator, he's dying. His pain is gone. He's
no, but he
work.
Says that. But no, but he says...
Ventilator, his pain will continue, therefore that's a reason not to...
No, because you can't... You can't say that because he says beforehand, actually, serum became even though he's suffering.
Right. So,
and we're not alleviating his suffering.
So you're adding suffering.
As long as we're not adding suffering.
But if you were to add suffering, then you wouldn't have to.
Then we don't have to do it. That's positive. If you're not adding suffering, you don't have to do it.
But that, you
if you're maintaining the same level of suffering, you can do it.
But and that's only. You wouldn't have to, only in the.
Leave turning off the ventilator out of this. We're not turning off anything. We're only in reinitiating.
That's only in the one off case. Before he
yeah,
starts, he
because
started,
before
he
he's saying
still do it,
he's
going to add a little.
No, pain. No. So I was medayik. Not it's going to add pain. If you look carefully, he says a person who's suffering, mm-hmm. not that the ventilation is going to add pain.
Okay.
That was the point I was trying to make before. It's not going to add pain. It's going to continue his status quo. If it maintains the status quo, so pshat I think in Shlomo Zalman is not pshat. Sorry, I'm not going to give a pshat. I'm just going to tell you. What I think Lamaskana he says, and then we can try to give a shot. Lamaskana he says, you have to do those things which fulfill natural needs or are routine in the patient who's suffering, so long as those things do not add to suffering. Even if the suffering continues, as long as the status quo is maintained, these things in and of themselves are not painful, they're not necessary.
Now the problem is going to be closely defining
what is shigrati, what is natural, because
right.
Things that aren't shigrati or fulfilling natural needs, I don't have to do if he's suffering, period. Even if those things won't add pain, I don't have to do them. Okay. So what is
even
natural?
But not if they would cure him.
If they would cure him, we have to do it. That's a separate point. He's saying, let's say someone has gangrene, right? I thought in the old newspapers I've read it said this. But it, let's say someone has gangrene, right? They have diabetes, and diabetes can affect the arterial system, and therefore they have gangrene. And because they don't have blood flow to their leg, and their leg gets starts to die, right? Organs can die, and it starts getting infected and green, and there will get an infection. The concern is now their bloodstream will get infected, and it will spread to the rest of their body. So how do you treat such a patient? The only thing we can do is cut it off. Okay? That is neither routine, nor does it... That certainly doesn't fulfill a natural need.
Probably painful, too.
He assumes that amputations are not routine for anybody.
But if
in your day-to-day treatment, you don't get...
If hemodialysis for a patient without... Given that hemodialysis for a patient who doesn't... given his criteria, it's certainly not routine. It's certainly not routine, certainly for this patient.
Okay.
Right? Hopefully. Right? Except for that lady on the subway commercial without the fingers from cigarette smoking.
Yeah. Just another thing, then. But let's say you don't have expressed...
We'll talk about
consent
that.
Or disconsent.
We'll talk about consent separately. Consent is a complicated question.
In case the person probably said they don't.
We ask the person what he wants,
or he said
ahead of time he has it written down, he's videotaped
he
something,
has a
DNR. Or he signed the deal. We know exactly what he wants. When we don't know what he wants, that's a different discussion. Just because it's more complicated, so we'll leave that for another time.
The other question is the definition of
usurum. So he just says you don't have to amputate the leg. That happened. He said you don't have to amputate the leg. And it fits in, I think,
so
to this.
So in the case of the amputation, does the pain get dramatically worse, the fact that you don't
no.
for a shorter period rather than a longer
period? Removing the leg should
but
not be painful.
Isn't removing the leg curative?
Not be painful.
No, because the guy's going to die. Let's say the guy's dying.
Okay.
No, we're talking about someone who's dying.
Still, okay. So it's not like a guy's
dying. He's dying. He just,
leg,
he has, he's dying from cancer. He also has diabetes. So Nebuch, he has a month or two left, and now he needs this, he has gangrene in his leg,
right.
Which will kill him sooner. He also has metastatic colon cancer. That's why he's dying.
I mean, would you have to take into account, are we defining dying at this point? Like, likelihood? Because if you could keep him alive and then maybe cure him.
Maybe. I don't know. He's saying someone who we can't cure. So we can't cure him. He's going to die in a month or two, no matter what we do. No matter what we do, he's going to die in a month or two. Now he also has gangrene.
His heart's failing, and he's just being kept alive, but now all of a sudden his leg...
He always had diabetes. It's getting worse. He's I've seen patients like this. They're dying from cancer, and they're not taking care of themselves, and you can't always blame them, and now they develop gangrene.
Right. So can we let him die from the gangrene?
From the gangrene, as opposed to doing it right. He's going to die anyway. We have no hope of curing his condition.
Dying of gangrene is going to be more painful than...
You can choose that if you want.
You can choose...
You can always choose to go through pain.
Painful,
yeah, well, I mean, it shouldn't be, because we could... Lamisa, I don't know why anyone's experiencing pain. Most patients are not experiencing pain. We should try to cure. We should try to treat pain as much as possible. We should just try to treat pain. We have medications. We can treat pain. We shouldn't have anyone suffering unnecessarily at all. We shouldn't. Physical pain, we can treat. Many types of mental anguish, we can treat. And we should. Just that should be clear. So, but yes, it would. You could opt for more painful and a shorter life. And we should treat him. But
so
that's
the question. So then you start to define usurum, which is that
yeah.
He said that even the person is unconscious, there's still it's still painful.
So we didn't get to unconscious.
So
let's talk unconscious.
You quoted that line before.
Where?
On the next on tough pay hey.
Yeah, even if he's unconscious. Oh. So there's a stira. Okay, so let's go two pages later. Let's go to the next page, but then we'll stop with this. On tough pay zayin.
Well, I mean, before you do the consciousness thing.
Yeah.
The analysis is great, except that there's a line on Taf Pei Gimel where he seems to say you can only withhold therapies which themselves are painful.
Yes, but then I think he clarifies. So what was the whole point of the verb Sigratim or Tzrachavativim?
To me, the whole thing doesn't read straight.
I understand.
About this with Dr. Avram,
yeah.
And he said that you can withhold a treatment even though the treatment itself is not painful.
Let's say an amputation is not painful.
That line, whatever you're saying, has to be read.
I have to read some lines more strongly than others to make sense of this paragraph.
Okay. What is can you just say over his name maybe so fully gone what he says just a straight sentence?
In a patient who is suffering, I must give him and I haven't started yet. I have to give him things that fulfill his natural needs or things that are accepted as routine, so long as those things do not increase his pain.
The things themselves do not
the things increase don't increase his pain. In such a patient, that's A. In such a patient, if he is suffering, I do not have to do things that I do not have to do things that are not fulfilling his natural needs or not considered routine
or curative.
or curative, even if they won't increase pain, given that he's suffering.
So there's the two ways out, either something that's going to increase pain or something that's just not routine.
Yeah.
Now, to clarify that point, what happens if...
This is my theoretical, we haven't actually said, yeah.
Right, as his life goes on, pain will increase.
But if we can, if I can hold that thought, because he says this. Okay. So if you look at the Taf Pei Zayin, it's him in the poster of Yashiv. He says, Cholis shochav legamri lo muda'us b'matzav mochun b'fei arofim tzemach. So he's in PVS, persistent vegetative state. V'chein choli machala mitkademet shel nivun mochi, machalat Alzheimer's, right? Hayim chayvim l'tabel b'ayim kol chole achar, kol alachiyah b'midah sheyesh dom leif. You have to do CPR. O l'chaber l'machir an shamam l'achutis. You have to put him on the ventilator. B'midah sheyesh dom leif. L'fikol amur nireh. If it's what's going to happen from his, if this is the outcome of his underlying disease, or if this is just something random, meaning even if you have a patient who's suffering from, like, you have a cancer patient who's dying and suffering and he chokes on a sandwich, so do you give him, right? He's going to die eventually in 3 months from now. But now he chokes on a sandwich. So do you have to save his life? So he says, "B'mikra rishon." In the first case, "Imachol nimtza b'masav sofi shel machalaso." This is the end part of his disease. But open tivit sofi mafsik lincha mashlibo mafsik lifom, and this is the natural end point. Ein chiyub lechaver oto lemachshir kadei lahanshim oto b'ofim lachusi elavatzei kol b'lacharis lachia. You don't have to do any of these things. Achtrich letabel b'sibuchim acherim kedo dalekas reyos alidei antibiotika. K'moshet trichim liten loblasos al kol tibul shigrati acher she'enu karach b'keivim gedolim b'sibuchim gedolim shela atzman. You have to do, if he's dying and there's no hope of curing him anyway, then he says you can hold off, because these patients, I don't know.
He said you have to give a ventilator as long as the ventilator is not
causing pain. Fine.
So why is he saying here you don't have to give a ventilator?
I don't know.
Maybe his assumption is the ventilator causes pain?
Yeah, I don't know.
But again, let's say you could dose him with morphine, he wouldn't feel any pain.
He's an Alzheimer's patient, he's not feeling anything.
How do you know?
PVS patient, he's not feeling anything.
So,
I did a fMRI.
So then,
how's the
pain
argument come into play here?
It's hard to know. But
meaning theoretical pain of like butlo pain called etzokaladam.
I don't know. Doctors like to come up with this existential pain or psychic pain. I don't know what that means.
Now they're mediums. The Ouija board is causing pain. Existential pain.
So if you could just cancel, negate the pain.
So that's mashma. You should negate the pain,
or just by hitting the guy on the head with a hammer and knocking him out.
Right. I mean, you could do that with a medic. You can do that in a more civilized way by giving him. You can give him medications that would accomplish the same thing without hitting him on the head.
So why is this discussion even relevant? Just any time.
So treat his pain. Yeah. So that's what Rabbi Leich points out. According to all these mahalchims, you just treat the pain and then keep him alive.
And then you have a chiyuv to go ahead and
see
him
in a second.
The what?
The unconscious patient.
So he doesn't distinguish.
No. So meaning.
So this is a problem.
The problem is, what do you do?
Once you could
treat the pain.
Once you could treat any pain and get any potential pain, then you have a chiyuv to go ahead and put in a respirator.
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
If you hold
that's
that mashma
from what he was saying.
Per se, but if you hold that it's tov mosa michayev, that's different.
Yeah, but how do you make that judgment call?
You can't get to ask the person and try to guess what they would say.
Meaning either the person
that's
has told you beforehand. It's a problem. Either
can you take into a fact that like. Into account the fact that, like, if you take them all, like, between giving medications, they could start feeling pain again? Like, does that count as they feel pain? Like, if they weren't on medication, so if, like, someone comes late, then they're going to feel it.
Yeah, I don't know.
So maybe just summarize what you said before, and then to maybe just lay out the areas which we're going to have to work on.
So we summarize what we've shown.
So the areas that we clearly define now are, what's the getter of pain?
What's the getter of pain?
Right? How do you make these choices when the person's unconscious?
That's a completely separate discussion. Right. That's completely. I'm going to leave that completely for another topic.
What's the gither of TV? What's the gither of
Shigrati?
Right.
So just one hour now. What if you have someone who's so many people who die as they die, they become unconscious.
So you think they're not in pain anymore
between choking on the sandwich and
he does.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
That's strange, right? Why should
it's
you? Mean, why should you have to? The guy chokes on a sandwich.
So let's leave that.
Shigrati,
so let's leave that until. Well, let's leave that. We'll analyze that point next time.
Right, okay.
Just one ha'ara on this because it relates to the pain point. So let's say as someone's dying, they become unconscious. So they ask Rav Yashiv, okay, so we held all. He was suffering, and I don't know why we didn't treat his pain, but we didn't, or we couldn't. Let's say we couldn't.
We're all.
We couldn't. He has bone cancer. We can't do it. So maybe we should have brought it to the hospital then.
We had that bone cancer.
It's bone cancer.
We were on the way to the hospital.
Bone cancer we can't treat. Stop paying so much. So, okay, now he becomes unconscious. So what do you do now? Sir Vilgasser says, give everything. He's not suffering anymore. Your only heter to hold back was when he's suffering. And now he's not suffering? You have no raya that he's suffering? And Rav Eliashiv. So as he gets closer and closer to death, he gets more and more treatment.
Not economical
economics is not factoring.
Not an economist.
Also, you'll say, well, okay, leave economics out. We have
but
unlimited.
Also, you had a better chance of saving him 3 weeks ago.
And Nachadam, you're right, as he's getting closer to death.
So then this makes no sense. I mean, just...
So they asked Rav Solomon Zalman pointed out, he said, look, as opposed to, if it was mutter before, as he's getting closer to death, it's okay. But Rav Eliashiv said, no.
But so, why? Because of someone said, why? He's still in pain, existential pain.
Because it doesn't make any sense to start treating him more closely when I have chance of saving his life to treat him before.
It's going to be like a boat going up and down. So Mela, he's really down, so then you make him go up. As soon as it goes up, so his pain's going to crash again, and crash and up. It's like crazy.
Meaning you'll say that if the treatment is likely to make him conscious again, at which point he'll feel pain, that you're not mechuyev.
Right.
Unconscious.
So then just sedate him and just keep treating him until he gets better fully.
That's what I advise.
If you could.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Because medically induced coma until the person is better, period.
Yeah.
You can cure the guy? That's different. You want to cure the person? We're talking about patients who I can't cure.
Let's say the person, you want to extend his life as much as you can. Just keep him in a coma so he's not suffering.
That's a different question. You want to talk about, can you cure him? Many people posting might hold. If you can cure him, then sedate him and cure him.
You're not going to cure
him. And many people would agree with that. I can cure him.
You're not going to cure him, but you'll use chloroform to knock him out.
We would use more, okay, yes. Maybe in New Zealand, that's what we would use, okay? Back in
the civilized country.
The point
is that comes out of Revelation.
Yeah. It's a little bit ironic. So Dr. Abraham said, along with this, so he said, after some sons died, so he always passed on to some son, his Rebbe. Someone actually asked him a shayla last week about something. He likes emails. So he asked him, did Dr. Abraham ever speak to Rav Shlomo Zalman or any of the other poskim about something? So he emails him back. He says, he answers the question. He says, I never asked Rav Shlomo Zalman about it. And he points to parentheses, tonight's his yahrzeit. To me, he's irreplaceable. But so he asked him, after Rav Shlomo Zalman died, what should I do? Now Rav Eliashiv is the Rav. The Rav Shlomo Zalman's no longer around. So the shayla's come up. I'm going to ask Rav, I know his mahalach. So now he's going to have to start. What about the patients who are like, who the psak was X yesterday, and now they're unconscious? So we're going to start pain. We're going to start initiating therapies. So he said, because Rav Shlomo Zalman would have said leave it alone. Rav Eliashiv would have said start it, but he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman. But now the patient's still hanging out. So what do you do? It's an interesting question. Why can't we just keep it? So he said, if you heard it from the Rav, you can follow the Rav, which makes sense. And he always followed the Shlomo Zalman's psak from then on, which would be completely ironic. The switch in the middle would be crazy. You have to, you don't have to. I think that was more Alts covered than Chiyuv, but that was Rav Eliashiv.
The point is, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, when the person's unconscious, why don't I have to treat?
Because I didn't have to treat before, that means that at some point they no longer have to treat.
I mean, that's like saying, well, now I was able to give him painkillers, and now he's feeling okay.
He's not feeling okay, he's dying. He's closer to death.
Okay, but the person's dying. And as long as I had no painkillers in my hospital, because I ran out yesterday, right, I wasn't mechuyev to treat him. Today I got a delivery of morphine. I'm able to give him morphine. Now he feels okay. Now I'm mechuyev to treat.
Sorry.
That's not...
So the answer...
Would say, you're right.
No. So you're right. In that case, you're right. In this case, you're not. And I think Rav Shlomo Zalman would tell you, and you'll be very upset that he would tell you this. But it's intuitive. All right. Fine. So, Mirza